Blog Talk Radio.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes, y'all remember that? Come on, EOP and BOI. Say, Lord, I really.
Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the founder and pastor is District Superintendent, Pastor Robert R. Sanders II. It's 5:30 and Friday. I tell you, it is time to go home after work. And it's gloomy out here, of course, you know. It's very gloomy, so you know. But anyway, listen. Hot topic. How church children are affected by what they are seeing. There are so many baby boomer adults and or the next generation of children that are seeing what is going on within the church. Are we living one way and doing things differently than what they see? Are we able to justify the means, or do the children become rebellious just because they want to be, or is it due to what they are seeing at home or at church? Let's chat, or both. Let's talk about this, because last night, I posted a topic on a brief broadcast and co-host with my husband about, has the church forced the people not to tell the truth? Well, we already know there's a big, fat, huge battle among ministry on today, and a lot of the church children are being affected by that. Children of pastors are immoral because their parents live a life of hypocrisy. Teaching the congregation about generational leadership, and then you turn around and then, you know, you have the generational rules. Their actions are opposite of their own rules. I do know, and I'm going to talk about where I am, what I'm a part of, and what I've been a part of, but I'll be clear that I'm not owned by a denomination. Anybody can basically deal with issues if you talk about it, and that's what we like to talk about at Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry. We basically like to deal with the issues that adults, of course, myself, children, teenagers, are faced with. In the church, we have known, you know, of growing up in our families, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, you know, AME, CME, Presbyterian, Lutheran, so on and so forth, Church of God, Assemblies of God, Baptist, Missionary Baptist, Full Gospel Baptist, Southern Baptist, you know, all of those denominations, and you come up in a family that basically teaches you to follow God, to honor, respect God in what you do. That's what you do because that's what you're taught. But also having a relationship with God is the most ultimate key that one should have when you are going to church. It's not enough to go to church just to be going and buying suits and going to the barbershop on Friday or Saturday or the hairdresser on Friday or Saturday and then turn around and then you acting a fool on Sunday. You know, you all this, but then Monday through Saturday, you're doing the same thing. A lot of church kids, many of our religious reality shows or programs that we've seen, Saints and Sinners, Greenleaf, have gave a duplicatory position of explaining the things that happens in the church, where you have marriages and people that are gay, that are married, and they still want to be with the same sex, not the opposite sex. They're going against the Bible. You have a lot of conflicts in the church. And with that being said, when you have these conflicts of people that want to be in, that are in the ministry, look at what the church children are picking up. If you recall, one of the reality shows, the son and the father got at it, you know, at each other's throat because of what? We don't know. We're hearing, but we don't know. So now, with these things in mind, a lot of the church children, pastors, leaders, let me help you out because I think you're not understanding the damages that you cause when you have a different life. When you go into the church, and you're reared in the denomination, you got to understand, and you should have a mind of your own to think, I'm not going to go this way. My mom, my dad left the church when they were in their, you know, in their adult years, and they both left for whatever their reasons were. Now, this is the thing. You can't sit up and decide to become a part of a religious denomination and then follow all of the rules, regulations, policy procedures, bylaws, church laws, sub-laws, in-laws, whatever laws, but then everybody gets away with doing stuff. And then you wonder why the children don't want to stay in the church. You can't live a life of hypocrisy before your children expect them to understand what it is to be saved. If the children see different, then it confuses them as to who God really is, and that's a part. Take for instance, when I was in my first marriage, I had already left the church, and I married when I was in a backslidden state. That meant I had turned my back on the church and God and went on about my business, told everybody, you know where to go. And because I saw the same thing, hypocrisy. And anytime you go to church with a knife in your pocket ready to stab somebody, there's a problem. I said, hold it. No, boo, it's me. Because this ain't right. And I know what I was taught. So when I left, for the few years that I left, I had to get an, I said, Lord, you know, I'm going through with some things. You know, I'm in this marriage. I don't know if it's going to last. You know, I'm trying to bring my family into the church. I'm having these battles. I'm having these conflicts. So I had to go on my knees and go before God and say, which way can I go? How can I come back to you? What is it that I need to do? And, of course, the old school method. But now my family was still in their hypocritical state of mind, you know, and they still were doing what they wanted to do. And they yet went to church on Sunday and cussed you out on Monday. So my thing is, my aunt passed away. I had to learn what she said on her deathbed. Trina, don't leave. Don't stay in the church. Don't leave. Stay in the church. She knew what I was about to deal with. She knew. My husband oftentimes say this, and I always encourage him to keep saying it. He left because of family and because of the men that were under the cloth that failed him as leaders, and he saw things that he has no business seeing. Preachers, your child have no business seeing you at Sister Susu house. They shouldn't have to have their license enough to come drive by her house to see your car parked in her garage. Your children should not see you putting your hand on the back of another woman's bottom, the secretary, the missionary, the mother, and anybody else in the church. They should not see your relationship so bountifully clothed with a secret that say something to you, you got an attitude. I'm just saying, because children sit up in church, they watch everything their parents do. From the time you get up to say, yes, Lord, they watch how you're singing it. They watch how you're critiquing the words. They're watching if you really want to be bothered to sing it. They're seeing what you do. Then when you get on the microphone, whether you got a collar on or not, whether it's a suit or not, whether it's a simple shirt with no a collar shirt, but they're watching. And then when you become elevated to these high positions, auxiliary bishop, archbishop, bishop and something and all that, and monastery and all that, but you get on Periscope and you get on YouTube and you're acting a fool, and then you're going around stomping folks' pagans, and your children and your wife and or your husband don't see these things. And you wonder why your children will not get saved. Now, when they get to an age of accountability, like I told my five grown children, might I add, 20s up to 30, okay? They're in that one going on 31. I told my children, because their dad did not grow up in the church after I came back, and I wanted him to be in the church, but his mind wasn't there. His mind was on other stuff that was outside of the will of God, but I still kept my feet in my house being married to an unsaved man. And as much as I tried to do the right thing by getting other men involved for him to be able to become yoked with, to get him into the word and whatnot, he still wasn't receiving it. And I went through some serious things. So the thing about it, he was yet entangled into what he was dealing with. And hey, case in point, I recall, I don't have a problem. See, I have a problem. I don't have a gray area, as some folk do. I'm straight because I know what I went through. I remember he was having a bachelor party for his best friend. And I told him, I didn't want no strippers in my house. They said it wasn't going to be no strippers. I said, okay. Well, I took my children to the choir musical. I had to lead a song and direct the song as well. And I came home at 11:30. My blinds was wide open. My television was open to the public because everybody across the street had popcorn and everything sitting up there looking at stuff on my TV that I didn't have in my house when I left. And then turned around and saw a G-string hanging on my entertainment center. Really? And my children, were stair-step age kids. They were in grammar school. So I'm like, what is this going on in my house? So now I had to put the kids to bed because we had to get back up and get ready to go to Sunday school the next morning because he had to go to work. So no. We didn't go to Sunday school. The bachelor party was the night before, so I had to go to the wedding. So the wedding, I stayed home to go to the wedding because he was in the wedding. But the thing about it is that my kids saw, well, what was downstairs that looked that yucky stuff on your blanket? Yeah, see, men, children ain't stupid, and they not dumb as they look. And I didn't know how to explain it. I said, oh, well, something that was not good got on it, and I had to throw the blanket in the garbage. I was not going to sit up there and try to clean that blanket. And my ex-mother-in-law made that blanket for one of the kids' bed. So the thing of it is that's what I had to deal with. And so when I see the preachers in the church, regardless of what denomination you're in, if your children see you acting in an unseemly behavior, but you're saying one thing, trying to cover and justify what your actions are, then you're not being truthful and you're definitely not being honest. You are playing with God. I'm going to say it again. You are playing with God, you're playing with salvation. And this is what your children see when they literally have to make a decision whether to stay in the church or not. And this is what hurts the children. You know why? Because they don't know what to do. And when you, when they're doing things and they leave the church, they don't know what direction to go because it's sad of how things
go. And then when they turn around and they see what their parents do and they at home, they don't know how to accept certain things. So when they come to church, they got to live this lie before the people. They end up trying to filtrate it in their mind because they don't trust anybody to talk to. And then they end up turning to people in the world, which that people can sit up here and say this if you want to, but the world got a lot to offer. They got a lot to offer. And when you see this happening, it turns them away. Look what happened to Esau and Jacob. Esau left. Esau left, went on a wilderness journey. A lot of kids in the Bible left because of what they saw going on at home and within the ministry. And this is how you get caught up. When you sit up in the church and you think you know your father and your father have other outside children and then your father try to cover it up, what do you think that that child thinks? Preachers, why do you do this to your children? What do you get out of lying and manipulating what you do? If you fall, you have an advocate with the Father to get yourself back together. But why do you make these mistakes and continue to wallow in it and praise it, but then you'll sit up and tell your children they don't know what they're talking about? Yes, they do. Don't play these church children stupid. They ain't crazy. They know what you do. They watch what you did at home to their mother. They watch how you lied. They watch how you manipulated. And every woman in the church act like she got Mexican jumping beans. Because every time you get up, she pop up. Ooh, 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 and that's what you do. They become disrespectful in the church, to your wife, to your family, as if there is not no care in the world. They see the hypocrisy. When the children that want to be saved get up in the church and they tell you, you're teaching them what is right and according to the scriptures, but you're still doing wrong. How do you think that makes them feel? Don't you know that you interrupted their salvation and their walk because of your selfishness, your attitude, your behavior? For a preacher to sleep with his son's girlfriend, really? Talk about robbing a cradle. Whether she grown or not. If you are married, you have no business sleeping with your son's girlfriend. That's the kind of stuff we see on YouTube, on Lifetime L&M and Lifetime movie. We all become immoral. Are we that out of control that we can't control ourselves? It's one thing to make a mistake and don't do it again. But it's another thing to continue in sin to justify grace. That is what God forbid. But you feel you doing what is right. You're not doing what is right. And then you wonder why your kids won't come to church. They won't come to church because they've seen the pastor whoremonger around for years. And they don't trust their pastor. And the crazy part, the church folks is dumb to want to keep their whole thing in the way to prove that they're doing what is right. You hurt your children by the actions that you display. I mean, and the crazy thing is that I don't understand what happens to these children. Their mind becomes wayward. Their mind becomes wayward. It's sad that your mind becomes wayward because they don't know which way to go. They lose focus. A lot of them lose focus. And that's what's happening to the church children. they end up dying. They see their fathers and mothers striking to be something big in a denomination, and they lose focus. You lose and leave your children behind. You lose and leave your children behind. You lose and leave them behind because you're seeking for titles. You're seeking for status. You're seeking for a position. You're seeking for things that are not of God. It's not of God. But you feel, oh, I'm doing this because the Lord told me. No, like I told a preacher, you don't leave your family behind trying to seek a title. Because that is not God. God didn't tell you to do that. He didn't tell you to leave your family and worry about this other place and do what they want. No, this is how men get caught up. And then you turn around and you get an attitude when somebody call your stuff out. There's no sense in you getting an attitude. We all have made some mistakes. But it's if you're doing the same mistake over and over and over and over again. It's the truth. Because you got to understand that if there's something wrong with you, whether you're seeking affirmation or you're seeking approval or whatever, some men, I'm starting to wonder, even though your father was at home, were you watching some of the damnable things he was doing? Were you watching a lot of stuff that other preachers was doing? That just act like you've taken on that procedure as a learned behavior? Man, you don't know what you're doing and you're supposed to be the leader. But if you continue to fall because, well, I just want to do what I want to do, and can't nobody tell me what to do, I'm a bishop, it's me. Then don't nobody want to be bothered with your sorry behind, because what you are doing is you're destroying God's establishment of family. And that's just real talk. No matter how you look at it, no matter how you slice it, no matter what you think, you have caused a whole family to be dismantled. Then your children in the church. I ain't talking about them that didn't have no saved daddies or saved mamas or whatever. I'm talking about the children that's in the church. They didn't grow up in it. They got so confused they want to be a lesbian. They got so out of it they want to be gay. This is what's happening. They're turning to other lifestyles for the pain that they don't know how to speak out and talk about it. This is a bad thing. Somebody, I don't know what about our culture. African Americans don't like to communicate. I ain't never seen it all my born days. How is it that you all can y'all can get high together? Y'all can tag women behind together, tag men together, sit up and gossip, but y'all can't communicate. What's wrong? You don't know how to sit down. My husband would tell you in a heartbeat, let's visit this address. We will have a conversation. We will have a conversation. Because I don't understand it. How is it that we don't want to communicate? We don't want to communicate. We don't want to talk about nothing. We don't want to do nothing. But we want to sit up and double dabble in all this other foolishness and debauchery, but we cannot communicate. If you get married to somebody, before getting married to somebody, you need to communicate. Open your mouth. Let your tongue hang out and let the spit hang with it. You need to talk about your problem. What you have endured, what you have seen, what you have had challenges with. You cannot sit up and tell me you don't know what the word communication means. Sesame Street broke it down. How in the world you can't understand it? If you got a weakness, tell your wife, tell your husband, honey, I got a weakness, and I'm asking God to help me on my weakness because I need help on my weakness. Because I don't know what to do about my weakness. I've seen my daddy do something wrong. I've seen my father, my stepfather do something wrong. I've seen my uncle, a cousin Pookie, a Poopoo, a cousin Leroy, Uncle Leroy, however you want to call it. And I learned bad habits from people who were not an example to me. Be honest. And I'm going to tell you something. Sons, daughters, stop covering up for your parents when you know they did wrong. I continue to disrespect them. Don't get nuh-uh. My dad and my mom left the church and got on drugs. She had undercover issues, but I did not support her habit. My dad had the same thing. He had problems with alcohol, and the man is 72 years old, and he still got problems. But I told my daddy, if you don't stop drinking, your building will put your end out in the street. That's real talk. Sons have seen their fathers mess with women in the church, turn around and their mamas die, and they marry a hoe. That ain't a good example, because you have messed your child's head up. Now the man don't know how to be a man, because you have not taught him how to be a man. You might have taught him a trade or two, but you ain't taught him honesty. Don't marry somebody you ain't in love with. And men, when you get caught up with these weddings, this is what your children see. They see Sister Susu all up in your face. Your wife's up here and you got an attitude. What for? Why? How? I mean, I'm just asking a question because we see it happen too much in the church. And then the church kids end up not understanding their identity because they come from a home that was of dysfunctionalism and confusion. Now they can't find their identity, and then they're trying to take on what they think is supposed to be right, but they can't. That's when the devil come in and mess their head up. This is what church children are seeing. I understand, and my husband understands. We understand what they've been seeing. And when they see these things, it's hard for them to understand because that trust factor of my parent being perfect was broken. It was shattered and destroyed. Man, if you running around and you got other children by other women and it wasn't by your wife, and then you want everybody to understand, no, you need to think about what you're doing and the repercussions. And men, you're so caught up into a woman's private part that you can't see. Don't get into a denomination and you really don't know the act of God. You don't even know the spirituality of God. You don't. And you wonder why your children are all messed up. And it's bad because the kids are suffering and they don't have nowhere to go. And what do? They come back to the home church that they left and they see the same old faces that know what you all been through. And they don't want to come back there permanently. Everybody's sneaking off. And you got all these cliques in the club and everything in the church. How? Literally, how? It affects their mind. And if they don't want to come back to church, then they step away from God and they go about their business. You call. Take accountability. I told my children, I said, if you don't want to be saved and you don't want to be in the church, you make your decision, and what you do is you do the best you can do until you want to come back. Other than that, do not hypocrite, because if you do, I'm going to call you in and out. I made it very well clear. And they don't bother with it until they get ready. Preachers, clean up your house. Stop lying and cheating and holding secrets back, because your children are going to find out. And you got a God you got to answer to. Have a blessed weekend. Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry Services on this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., and we have Sunday school at 12 noon. You be blessed. Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Be holy.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes. Y'all remember that? Come on, EOP and BOI. Say, Lord, I really...
I wanna be holy. Come on, lift your voice and shout holiness.
Holiness.